Welcome to a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from holidays past. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. We have an hour of drama ahead of us. Later on, the Cavalcade of America with a story called Barbed Wire Christmas. But first, it's Tales of the Texas Rangers with an episode called Christmas Present from December 24th, 1950 on NBC.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Case for tonight, Christmas Present.
It is 2 p.m. December 21st, 4 days before Christmas in the Depression year of 1931. On a city street corner in North Texas, a man dressed as Santa Claus suddenly leaves his post beside a large red pot labeled Help the Poor. Shivering with cold, he enters the newly opened building of the Panhandle Equity Bank and approaches the bank guard.
Say, mister, you mind if I stay in here a few minutes, warm up a little?
I sure don't. I've been watching you through the window. Don't know how you stood it as long as you did.
Oh, this Santa Claus outfit's pretty warm at first, but then the cold sort of creeps in on you.
How long they expect you to stand out in that?
Oh, 8 to 2. 6 hours, that's all.
Well, it's 2 o'clock right now. You can go home.
Not till my relief man shows up, I can't. Can't leave till he gets here. Some money in the pot out there.
Oh. Well, why don't you wait right in here till you see him?
I was hoping you'd say that, because I'm sure... Oh, there he is now. Just drove up in a car.
Oh, he can't leave a car parked there in front of the bank. There's a time limit on parking.
Well, I think he's just wondering why I'm not there. I better go out and... Oh, he sees me. He's coming in.
Howdy.
Howdy. Was wondering when you get here. God let me come in and warm up.
I hope your Santa Claus suit is warmer than his. We'll be closed up by the time you need warming.
Oh, I don't think I'll get very cold. I got a cool 45 in my pocket pointed right for your belly. Now, don't move.
Don't move, he said. Keep your hand away from your gun.
You guys are pulling the stick up.
No kidding. You figure that all out by yourself, stupid?
Let's make it a nice, quiet stick up, huh? Just walk to the rear of the bank with us. Take us through the door to the money in the vault. Now, go on.
You'll never get away with this.
You're just trying to attract any attention. You'll never live to know whether we're doing or not.
All right. Open that door.
The girl by the desk has to open it. It's button control.
Well, tell her you won't in.
Miss Keene.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Lovett. Your Santa Claus friend's coming in with you?
Yeah.
We're so busy, I didn't even notice that. Something wrong, Mr. Lovett? You look kind of sick.
You'd be more than sick if you let out one yell.
They got guns in their pockets, Miss Keene.
Watch your mouth, sister. Nobody else can see us now. Take his gun.
I've got it.
Now, sister, whether he lives or not is up to you, understand?
What do you want me to do?
Open the keys of those money trays. Get to it.
All right.
You got the sack. Tell her what to put in it. Stuff it into your jacket when you're through.
Right.
And remember, sis, one yap and this jerk gets it.
All right, all right. Go on. Come on, stuff it in the sack.
What are you going to do when you leave?
Come on, fast.
What do you mean?
We'll give you a chance to get away. We won't yell or anything until you're gone. Honest.
Oh, yeah, that's real nice of you. Maybe you ought to be wearing the Santa Claus suit instead of me. You think I'm going to fall for a... Hurry up, will you? One of the bank executives is heading back here.
All right, all right. I'm almost through. As soon as I get it in my...
Hey, what are you doing back here, Lovett? Why aren't you out front?
These Santa Claus fellas, Mr. Peabody, just wanted to...
Well, what's the other one doing in the vault there? The scheme what to...
Oh!
You can answer this question later, when and if he comes to. And congratulations on your self-control. You're liable to get medals for saving your own lives.
All right, let's go. I got it.
All right, let's leave these people the quiet. Wait.
Oh!
A statewide alarm was put out to all law enforcement agencies in a matter of minutes, but the perpetrators of the Santa Claus stick-up had vanished. Texas Ranger Jace Pearson, closest unit to the scene of the crime, was requested to investigate.
The chief police gave me the general details. I'd like to get your story firsthand.
Well, I saw the guard take them through there, Ranger. And I went back to see why he was leaving his post on the bank floor, and that's when I got hit.
You have any idea how big they were?
No, I don't. I was too excited.
I see. What's your name?
Leon Peabody. I'm second vice president.
How about the girl, Miss Keene, and the guard, Lovett?
Both of them were knocked out, too. Miss Keene finally came to and we sent her home, but they took Lovett to the hospital. He wasn't in good shape.
Skull fracture?
They don't know.
Oh, how come you stayed around? That's a nasty bump you've got.
I feel it, too. Plenty. Ooh. But I knew the police would need whatever information there is, so I stayed.
Yeah, you better sit down.
Oh, thanks.
You think you could recognize either of the holdup men?
Yeah. Dressed the way they were? I'm afraid not.
It's a cinch they chucked those Santa Claus suits right after they left here. I hope they left a few fingerprints.
Both of them were wearing gloves.
You get a tally on how much they made off with.
Yeah, we're running a tape on it. We'll know in a couple of minutes.
Men who pulled this job worked pretty smoothly. They seemed to know the setup behind the partitions there. Have any of your employees ever been in any trouble?
Well, those men weren't employees of the bank.
No, they weren't. But somebody inside could have supplied them with your new layout. Helped them plan the job.
Well, sir, all of our employees have been with us for at least a year, and we haven't taken on any new ones since we moved over here 2 months ago.
Mr. Peabody.
Oh, yes, Donnelly. Is that the rundown?
Yes, sir. 63,800. And we've got serial numbers on some of the larger bills.
Good. That'll help if they try to pass any. I'll take a copy of that list. Police can alert the other banks and merchants. We'll get numbers out on the statewide and interstate.
We may run down some more serial numbers when we cross-check deposits.
That'll be fine. I think you ought to go home now, Mr. Peabody. We can reach you there if you're needed.
Oh, thank you. I guess I shouldn't even think about myself, though. I'm a bachelor, but the God love it, he's got a wife and three children. Yeah. Pretty rotten Christmas present for them if he doesn't pull through.
I paid a call on Miss Keene, the girl who'd been slugged, but she was in a state of shock and hysteria. By nightfall, all possible angles had been checked, and we still didn't have a lead. My boss, Ranger Captain Stinson, flew in, and I met him at the airport and drove him to town.
You talked to all the welfare agencies that have Santa Clauses stationed on the streets?
Yeah, and every man they have checked out clean. It was a phony setup, Captain. Even though one of the bandits spent the whole day right out in the corner outside the bank.
Well, that was smart. Got the bank guard used to seeing him.
Yeah. City police are checking to see if they can find out where the suits came from and who got them.
Good idea. How's the bank guard doing?
Love it. I checked the hospital. He's still out. No fracture, but they can't bring him around. He may have...
KTXA to Unit 10.
That's yours, Jason.
Yeah. Unit 10. Go ahead, KTXA.
City police report stolen car found in alley off Crockett Street between Maple and Lolly. Maybe car used in Panhandle Equity Bank robbery. Police chief requests your assistance.
10-4. Proceeding there immediately.
10-4.
Unit 10, clear.
KTXA, Austin.
We better get there fast. This may be the break we need.
Here it is, Rangers. Abandoned in the alley. Prowl car spotted it and checked the license on the stolen car list.
When was it reported stolen, Chief?
Early this morning. But the owner says it might have been missing since yesterday. He's been away.
You check on him?
Yep, he's clear. It's where he said he was.
What makes you fellas think this is the car?
Found this on the floor, under the seat. Big red button.
Off a Santa suit, all right. I'm going to climb in behind the wheel for a second. Ask one of the men in the prowl car to flash his light this way.
Sure. Let's have a spotlight here, will you, boys?
Okay, Chief.
That do, Ranger?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, have any of your men moved this rear vision mirror, Chief?
Nope.
How about this front seat? You slide it back to get that button you found?
No, just saw it under there and reached in and got it.
What are you trying to figure, Jace?
The last fellow who drove this car was pretty big, about an inch or inch and a half taller than I am.
What makes you think so?
Because the seat's all the way back where it would be for a tall driver, and I have to raise myself a bit to get a clear view through the rear vision mirror.
Hey, that's good thinking, Jace.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't touch anything. Maybe he left the car just like it was when he stole it.
I'll give odds against that. A man who's getting away from a bank stick-up wants to know what's coming behind him. Out of the city had been under watch since the report of the robbery, so the men we were after figured to be close by. but all we knew was that one of them was about 6'3". In the morning, we made a routine check with police headquarters.
Morning, Rangers.
Morning, Chief.
Morning, Chief. Your men come across anything?
I'm just going to check through this report. It tells us the location of just about every Santa Claus suit in town. All of them belong to organizations using for their Christmas parties. Of course, once in a while, they let some private individual borrow them for a kid party or something, as if they put up deposit money.
You got a list of the places that have loaned suits out and who got them?
That top paper. I was just starting to check it. Look, if you like.
Thanks.
Looks like we might be adding a murder charge to the armed robbery, Captain.
The bank guard dead?
Not yet, but it looks bad. They're operating for a blood clot on the brain. He's,
Wait a minute.
What is it, Jase?
I think we've got a boy to talk to. Look at this list. Two suits borrowed from two different organizations, but both borrowed by the same man, Anthony Ross, 124 Petagrosa Street.
Say, that's worth looking into, Jase. Come on, let's pick him up.
The home of Anthony Ross at 124 Petagrosa Street turned out to be a rundown shack on the outskirts of town. A small boy and girl, not dressed well enough against the cold, stopped playing with a mongrel dog as we drove up. They stared at us while we went up the rickety porch, the dog barking at our heels.
It's all right, boy. It's all right. Take it easy. Good pup. There's a good...
Yeah, what... Oh, Texas Rangers.
You Anthony Ross?
Yeah.
We'd like to come in.
Oh, sure. Annie, you and Jim take the dog in the back of the house and play there.
Look at those suit boxes, Jase.
Yeah, see them.
What do you want to see me about?
We can start with those boxes on the table. What's in them?
I don't know. Just a couple of packages. That's all. They ain't mine.
You better open them up, Jase.
Yeah.
No. Wait a minute. I tell you, they ain't mine. You got no right to...
This search warrant says we have.
Search warrant? Now, look. Now, those things ain't stolen. They were rented.
Mm-hmm. Couple of Santa suits, all right, Captain. And look, a button missing from the jacket of this one.
I don't know what this is all about. Why are you...
Maybe we can refresh your memory. The guard you slugged at the Panhandle Equity Bank isn't expected to live.
What?
Who was wearing the other suit, Ross? Who was your partner?
What are you guys doing to me? I don't know what you're talking about.
We're talking about the $63,000 stick-up you and somebody else pulled yesterday. And since you're about 5'10", I can tell you that your partner's about 6'3".
Rangers, you're making a mistake. I don't even know anything about a holdup.
The button missing from this suit was found in your getaway car, the one your partner drove.
It wasn't me. I tell you, I didn't even know what kind of costumes were in them boxes. They ain't mine.
Then where'd you get them?
I picked them up at a couple of places yesterday morning.
You say you picked them up, and you're trying to tell us you don't know what's in the boxes.
I picked them up for somebody else.
They were rented out in your name.
The woman ordered them in my name.
What woman?
The one who hired me to pick them up.
That's a pretty phony story, Ross. Who was this woman you're talking about? What's her name?
I don't know. I don't even know.
You better come with us, Ross.
No. You got to listen to me. Please listen. You got to believe me. I was in town early yesterday morning. She come right up to me on the street. I was pulling my kid's old wagon along, trying to find some junk I might sell.
You sure you don't want to think this story over before you go any further?
She asked me if I wanted to earn a dollar running a couple of errands. I said, sure. A buck would give my kids a meal for a change. She asked me my name and address, and I told her, and then she told me to wait while she went into a booth and made some phone calls. When she come out, she sent me to two different clubs, told me there'd be costumes and packages. She had them left in my name to avoid confusion, she said.
You didn't think that was funny?
Mister, all I could think about was earning that dollar. She gave me money, deposit money for the costumes, and told me to come back and meet her with the stuff on that same corner.
Where were you at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon?
I was looking around for a junk again for a couple hours after I delivered the packages. And I guess at 2 o'clock, I was walking back home from town.
It was a long walk to here in this weather.
cost of a bus ride will buy a loaf of bread for the kids you saw outside. Is that a crime? What's it to you if I walk my feet off to feed my kids?
All right, Ross. That was a nice act. But there's a big hole in it. You say you delivered the Santa Claus suits to a woman you didn't know. But you've still got them.
Yeah, I got them. They're going to mean a good Christmas. Yeah, you're not going to believe what I tell you. The woman came here last night, drove up in a car, woke me up. She said she was leaving town in a hurry. She didn't have time to take the costumes back herself, and if I take them back, I could keep the deposits. $15 each. Yeah, but you're not going to believe that, are you?
You better get your coat.
Will you give me a chance to ask one of the neighbors to watch out for my kids?
I'm afraid you'll be gone too long for that. I'm sorry, but we'll have to take him into the juvenile home.
Oh. I guess they all get better care there than I've been able to give. Will you give me a chance to ask one of the neighbors to watch out for my kids?
I'm afraid you'll be gone too long for that. I'm sorry, but we'll have to take him into the juvenile home.
Oh. I guess they all get better care there than I've been able to give. I'll get my coat.
Now, Ross, you been doing any painting around here?
Painting? This place looked like it ever saw paint.
Put me jazz there, Jace.
I just noticed this inside the leg of this Santa Claus suit. Paint blob. Looks fresh.
Well, how come it's inside the leg, not outside?
I don't know. That's something we'll have to figure. This is the large size suit. Must have been worn by the big boy we're looking for. The captain and I did a job we hated, dropping the Ross kids off at the juvenile home. Sometimes it's the only thing to do. They cried for their father. Always makes something inside you cry a little with them. We took Ross to the jail and locked him up.
Well, that seems to be it, Rangers. By the time he comes up for trial, he should be ready to name his accomplice. That is, if we don't find him before then.
I'd go along with that, Chief, if we'd found any money on him or in the house, even a few dollars.
Kids got under your skin, huh, Jason?
They got under yours, too, Captain. You know it.
Yeah, but we got to remember, that bank guard has kids, too.
Hey, you got any late reports on him from the hospital?
Man stationed there says the operation is over. Don't know how it's going to come out yet, though.
You might as well go over there and check with the doctors, Jace. I got to get back to company headquarters.
Do me a favor, then. You're heading toward Austin. Take the Santa outfits with you and have them sent on to the lab. Get an analysis of that paint in the trousers. Maybe some traces in the boots, too.
Well, how come the boots?
Well, they're made to go on over regular shoes. I figured that paint stain on the inside of the pants came from a blob of paint on the shoe of the man who put them on.
I see. All right, Jace, you want to know the content of the paint and see if lab can run down the source, is that it?
Yeah.
You were working up to some kind of a lead?
Maybe. A few things I'm trying to fit together. Maybe they won't fit. If they do, though, you will hear from me. I went over to the hospital and checked with the doctors, but the outcome was still in doubt. The guard's wife was there, face twisted with worry and fear. There was nothing I could do to help, so I got some sleep. Then in the morning, I went back to see the police chief.
Oh, Ranger, I'm glad you dropped in. I just had a long-distance call from your lab headquarters at Austin. Report on that paint.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I wrote it all down. Paint is manufactured right here in town. Brand name is Light Glow.
Light Glow, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Can you get a list of local painting contractors who use it?
Well, I reckon just about all of them do. It's good paint, and this wouldn't hardly be Texas if we didn't deal with a local outfit, would it?
No, it wouldn't. Thanks a lot. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Over to the Panhandle Equity Bank. Mr. Peabody, do you know who painted this bank before you opened?
Well, there was a contract for the building, included the painting. I guess that was done on a subcontract.
Can you find out from the contractor?
Sure, but you mind my asking why?
I told you the day of the robbery. Everything was too well planned. Like the men who did it knew the inside of the bank.
As I remember you saying that. You think the painters may have?
That's what I think.
But why not some of the construction men?
I've got a reason for being interested in painters. Check it for me, will you?
checked. Contractor gave the name of the painters. Two men, Eddie West and Martin Poggin. They'd been working the day of the robbery, he said, at a house on the north side of town. I went out to the house to see the owner.
Why, yes, Ranger. They worked here all day that day. I remember we heard the report of the robbery on the radio.
They were both here all day?
Yes.
Didn't even go out to eat?
Had their lunches with them.
Kind of smelly when the house gets painted. Most women usually get out of the way.
I wanted to watch them, so I was here every minute to see they didn't get sloppy. I like things neat.
I see. Well, thanks, ma'am. I'm sorry I bothered you.
Why are you asking about them, Ranger?
Nothing important. Not as long as you say they were here. Goodbye, ma'am. Merry Christmas to you.
Yeah, the same to you, Ranger. Merry Christmas.
She was the alibi for Eddie West and Martin Poggin. She was too nervous about answering a few simple questions, nervous enough to make me wonder. I went back to the jail, got Anthony Ross out in my custody, and drove him to the north side of town. All right, get out, Ross. We're going in here for a minute.
Why? What are you trying to frame now?
I just want you to meet somebody.
Well, back again, Ranger. I thought we'd...
That's her. Ranger, that's the woman...
Who is he? Who is this man?
You ought to remember me, lady. My kids are in juvenile home on account of you, and I've been in jail.
I never saw you before in my whole life.
Tell him the truth. Tell him before I...
Hold it, Ross.
Take him away from here. Go away, both of you.
Ranger, I got those costumes for her. For her!
You're a liar, a liar!
That word fits somebody, all right. Can I come in and have a look around, ma'am?
What for? What do you want?
I want to check over the painting job to see if it's just new painting or if there's some new plaster under it someplace.
You can't come in. You have no right.
The boys you're alibiing for must have come back here after they cracked the bank, because you must have picked them up in your car after they ditched the one they're using.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wouldn't carry the money on them. Did they cover it up here, safe under fresh plaster and paint until it cools
no.
off?
No!
I can call for a search warrant and wait till a crew comes and tears this place apart. It'll go better for you if you don't try to cover.
The money isn't here.
Well, come on, come on. Where is it?
It's in that wall. Behind the picture.
Come on, Ross. Which one's your boyfriend? Poggin or West?
Eddie. West. He said we'd get married. Go to Europe next year.
You'll all go someplace next year, but it won't be Europe. West about 6'3"?
Yes. How did you know?
I got an early Christmas present. Somebody sent me a crystal ball. As soon as I call the police and dig out that bank money, you're coming with us.
Ranger... I'm clear now, ain't I?
Looks that way, Ross, but you'll have to go back to jail for a while and be checked out by the local police. That won't take any longer than it'll take me to pick up Eddie West and Martin Poggin. I made my call, then took West's girlfriend and Anthony Ross back to jail. Poggin and West were playing it smart, working right up to Christmas Eve like a couple of house painters would be doing. I found out where they were working, a loft of a warehouse. Local police covered the building while I went in.
Eddie, who's that?
Who cares?
Probably the watchman. Watch out for those paint cans.
Don't worry. I see them.
That ain't the watchman's voice, Eddie.
Come out of the shadows where we can see you.
I'm coming. But seeing me isn't going to make you happy.
Eddie, it's a Texas Ranger.
Shut up, Hogan. I got my gun.
Are they, Ranger? Something you want?
Yeah. I want the two men who robbed the Panhandle Equity Bank.
Eddie.
Cut up.
What would we know about that, Ranger?
Come down off that scaffold and I'll tell you.
Okay. Marty, low away.
Too bad you aren't working at a place with a phone. Your girlfriend could have warned you earlier.
It is news. I'll get him.
Keep your hands away.
I'm hurt. I'm bleeding.
I just nicked you when you tried to dig for that gun in your pocket. You're not hurt.
We didn't do nothing, Ranger.
Somebody should have told you that the real Santa Claus gives. He doesn't take. Get up and try this present I've got for you. A pair of handcuffs.
Well, that winds it up for sure, Ranger. Didn't turn out too bad either. Just hurt from the hospital. Guard passed the crisis. He's going to be all right.
You couldn't have better news, Chief. Just in time, too. It's getting dark. Christmas Eve. You let Anthony Ross go?
Mm-hmm. About 10 minutes ago. He didn't seem too happy, though, just like he didn't care, what with his kids in the juvenile home and everything. Judge mightn't even release him if he can't care for him.
Ross didn't have a dime, not even bus fare. It'd take him a couple hours to walk home.
Oh, why didn't I think?
Well, maybe it's just as well that way. Let me call the judge and Mr. Peabody, the bank vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Stores will be open late, won't they?
Sure. Why?
It'll take Ross a long time to get to his house. Maybe we can get some of your boys to help us and change his mind about Christmas. There's Ross. You hear him coming up the walk now?
Mm-hmm. Coming slow. His tail is dragging.
Yeah.
Not that I blame him.
Are the kids asleep?
Yeah. All bundled up in their own blankets. Ranger. And the chief. The lights. Lights. They're on. The power company turned them off.
Yeah. They sent a man out to turn them on again.
What's all this stuff? Christmas tree. All those toys and things.
Tomorrow's Christmas, Ross. For you and your kids. They're in the bedroom asleep.
My kids. You brought my kids back to me.
Yes, and there's plenty of grub in the kitchen.
And you've got a job. Starting next week at the Panhandle Equity Bank. Just go in and see Mr. Peabody after the holiday. Meanwhile, he sent you a little cash in this envelope. Sort of a Christmas bonus, just like the rest of the employees get. Well, we have to be going. Merry Christmas.
Yep. Merry Christmas, Ross. Merry Christmas, fellas. Merry Christmas. And God bless you.
Thanks.
God bless you.
On behalf of all of us on Tales of the Texas Rangers, this is Joel McRae wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Eve 1950 on NBC, their first holiday broadcast. The show would wrap up in 1952. This is an hour of Christmas programs on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeFonier. Now time for another drama. It's the Cavalcade of America bringing us a war story called Barbed Wire Christmas, an NBC broadcast featuring movie actor Edmund O'Brien from December 16, 1952.
The DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware, makers of better things for better living through chemistry, presents the Cavalcade of America. Our play is Barbed Wire Christmas, based on the true experiences of GIs in a German prisoner of war camp. Our star, Edmund O'Brien.
Time, a few days before Christmas, 1944. The place, an American prisoner of war camp, deep in Germany. In a snow-covered compound, a group of American prisoners stands shivering in the icy wind, waiting for morning roll call.
Achtung! Achtung! When you hear this whistle, you'll come to attention.
A message from the commandant.
On the eve of Christmas, the curfew will be extended to 1 o'clock. Take notice. It's eve of Christmas only. On all other nights, as usual, any prisoner found outside barracks will be shot.
This is the story of that Christmas Eve. A Christmas that I and 4,000 other American enlisted men spent in a German prison camp. We lived in flimsy barracks, surrounded by barbed wire and trigger-happy German guards. We were forever cold and wet and hungry. And I mean really hungry. My name is Peterson, Sergeant Bert Peterson. As the elected leader of the 150 men of Barrack 35B, my main problem was to keep us all alive until the Allied armies came for us. And now, with another horrible German winter beginning, the only thing that kept us from doing something desperate and suicidal was our conviction that it wouldn't be too long now. Most of us kept up our hopes, but some, like a kid from West Virginia named Nick, liked to sit around the barrack and worry about it.
Hey, Pete, how long you think it'll be, huh? I mean, before we get out.
I don't know, Nick. Soon, I hope.
Well, like when? I mean, make a guess, huh?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a month, if we're real lucky.
And we're real lucky type fellas. We got a roof over our heads, 3 square meals a month, and all the water we can drink. Who needs more? Outside of human beings, that is, or animals.
Why a month? Our guys are in Germany already, only 400 miles away now.
400 miles? Nothing at all. They'll be bouncing in here on their pogo sticks first thing tomorrow.
Hey, Pete!
Hey, Blackie, where you been?
Over to the chaplain's office. Hey, you know we're all going to have a midnight mass Christmas Eve in the chapel.
Ain't that charming now? What do you mean, we all?
I mean the whole camp. Anybody who wants to come.
That's better, because frankly, I couldn't be less interested.
Yeah, we know, we know. Hey, Milstein?
Yeah?
Father Moran wants to know if you'll sing at the service.
Hey, Pete.
Sure, why not?
Hey, Pete, you hear the BBC news this morning?
No, I didn't, Miller. Why?
Well, this Jerry Gott was talking outside just now. And he said that the Americans and the British were retreating like crazy back into Belgium.
What?
And that the war was just starting, and he said we'd be here for years
yet. Yeah, they're always yakking like that.
You really believe that stuff?
I don't know. Heard it's just what I heard, is all.
Well, we can check it tonight on the radio. But it sounds phony to me.
It better be, because I ain't staying here another winter.
You're not, huh?
No, my friend, I'm not. I had plenty last winter. More than plenty. And I ain't taking it again.
So, what you got in mind, Nick?
There's 4,000 of us, ain't there? 4,000 against a handful of crowds.
Nick, you ever hear about Luft 3? Our guys tried a mass break there, remember? And they got mowed down like so much hay. Not one man got out. Not one.
So they didn't plan right, that's all. All I know, if that stuff about the Jerry's counterattacking is on the level, I ain't staying here. And, brother, I won't be the only one. Believe me that.
I believed him, all right. If the news was true, there'd be all kinds of desperate prison breaks, all resulting in one thing, plain, simple suicide. That night, to catch the BBC news, I hauled out the Crestel set I'd built. Radios were strictly forbidden by the Jerrys, so we had to take precautions.
What do you want me, Pete?
Get that window, huh, Sid?
Okay.
Hud, you get by the door and sing out if you hear anything.
Right.
And loud, because I can't hear so good with these earphones on.
Okay. All clear here. Nobody coming?
All right, now keep it quiet, huh? The news ought to be on right now.
What's he saying, Pete?
Yeah, is it on?
What's he saying?
Is it news?
Quiet, will you? Quiet. I can't hear. Yeah. Yeah, I got it. I got it. I think it's London. Yeah. Here's the news now.
This is London calling. On the Western Front, situation.
On Western Front. Situation is increasingly serious. And vicious counterattack. German forces have bulged back into Belgium. Some places to depth of 50 miles. United States 101st Airborne Division reported to be cut off and surrounded at Bastogne.
Oh, yes. So it's true, huh? So it's true. So we're never getting out of here. Never getting out of here.
Yes, it seemed to be true, all right. Very little was said that night after the news. The lights went out at 9, as usual. And as we crawled into our sacks, no one slept. Each man I knew was lying there thinking, brooding, planning. Slowly building himself up to a state of suicidal desperation. As barrack leader, it was my job to get their minds busy with something else. But what? Finally, long after midnight, I thought of something. And in the morning, first thing after roll call, I called a barrack leader. All right, you guys, simmer down now, huh? Now, the purpose of this meeting, well, it's not very long until Christmas, and, well, we haven't done anything about it.
What? The Yuletide season upon us so soon? Gracious me, how time doth fly.
Christmas in this place, who cares?
Well, I do, Nick, for one.
You would.
Okay, so I'm a sentimental fool. But I had some kind of a Christmas tree, for instance, every year of my life, and some kind of Christmas dinner. And I'm going to have them this year. Jerry's or no Jerry's.
Count me in, Pete.
Me too.
Okay, Blackie.
And the name's Milstein. And I still think it's a good idea.
Atta boy, Sid.
Like I said, I still don't care.
Oh, shut up, will you? What do you got in mind, Pete?
Well, like a Christmas tree, for one, and decorations, and some kind of special dinner. And we could put on a show. And later, there'll be the midnight mass.
for whoever wants to go.
Goody, goody, goody.
Bud, will you shut up with that stuff?
You want to go to your mass, you go to your mass. This is a free country.
That's a joke, son?
Just slipped out, Sid. Forget it.
Anyway, we got to have some committees. Say, Blackie.
Yeah?
How'd you like to be chairman of the dinner committee?
Okay, sure.
Now, Hud, you're the comic around here. Suppose we put you in charge of the show.
Oh, no, no, you don't, boy.
Okay, we vote. All those in favor of Hud being chairman of the entertainment committee, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No!
Motion carries.
Oh, for Pete's sake, I don't... Oh.
And the show better be good, boy, or you're going to get 4 dozen ripe tomatoes right in the... Hey, I'm going crazy or something? Who's got tomatoes, huh?
And so began what I came to think of as Operation Christmas. And it started to work. In each of us, memories of wonderful Christmases long past were stirred into life. And strangely, each of us began to think of Christmas as his own personal possession, to be recreated here in this dismal place, down to the last minute detail. There were even a few arguments.
A star on top of the tree? How come?
Certainly a star. What else, for Pete's sake?
An angel, you dope. You gotta have an angel on the tree.
An angel? You crazy or something? You always have a star. Star of Bethlehem. Somebody, you don't even know what Christmas is about?
Sure, I know what Christmas is about. Look, didn't this angel come to the shepherds out in the field and tell them that Jesus was born and where to find him?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why you always have an angel on top. And I'm chairman of the decorating committee, and we're having an angel.
Okay. Okay, so we put both on top. Put a star and an angel, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay, no need to get so sore about
it. Well, who's getting sore?
Yes, there were arguments, but behind them all was a deep common concern, a common spirit, the spirit of Christmas. And as Christmas Eve drew near, our tensions and worries were forgotten in our preparations for the party. All right, so now a report from the dinner committee, Blackie.
Right. Well, this is what we got worked out, fellas. Each guy puts in 2 squares of K rations and 1 square D bar, and then he gets some prunes, a couple of slices of Spam, and some liver paste, depending on what he's got. And I'm going to make us some cake out of what is commonly referred to as ingredients, being namely some sodium bicarb tablets.
And thank you, Fanny Farmer. Yes, everything was going fine. And then the worst happened. It was the morning of Christmas Eve. We were all busy with our various job in the barracks when we heard the shout that meant we weren't alone.
Is it Jerry in the house? Jerry in the house!
Achtung! Barracks leader. Medicine.
Here. What's on your mind?
A message from the commandant. Tonight it will be forbidden to have the midnight mass. Quiet!
What do you mean, forbidden?
The 1 o'clock curfew will still be allowed, but the mass is forbidden.
Just a minute, fellas, just a minute. Why no mass?
I do not make the order, Sergeant. All I know, the mass is forbidden. Forbidden! That's status. Schnell!
What's the matter? They've gone crazy. What's the matter with the man?
I don't know. They always got some stupid reason.
How do you like that?
I don't. Not a bit.
You know, I got a notion to go anyways.
Yeah. They want trouble, we'll give them trouble.
Ah, what are you yakking about, Hud? You weren't going anyway.
All right, so I never had much use for that religious stuff. But to me, having a mass not to go to is just as big as your having a mass to go to.
Try it again in English.
Maybe it's more like this, Blackie. You're a Catholic and I'm a Jew, but we've only got one chaplain here and... Well, he happens to be Catholic, so we've got to sort of spread him around, so to speak. When he talks about God, I think of my God, and Pete here thinks of his, and Hud here thinks of his.
Assuming he's got one.
Sure, I got one. What do you mean? You think I'm some kind of atheist or something? One more time.
Nobody said that, Hud. Nobody said that. And let's simmer down, huh?
Well, I'm going over to the chapel tonight, and I'd like to see the Jerry or anyone else who's going to stop me.
Me too. I'm going to.
They'll kill you. They'll kill all of you.
They wouldn't dare.
What difference does it make for Pete's sake? Who's going to live here anyway? Yeah, I promised to sing Pete, and I'm singing.
So we're all going, Pete, whether you like it or not. What are you going to do about it, boy?
Do about it? I don't know, hon. I frankly don't know. was Christmas Eve, 1944. We were a bunch of GIs in a prisoner of war camp in Germany. As a barrack leader, I found myself faced with a serious problem. My guys were going to chapel for midnight mass, whether it meant getting shot or not. All I could do was go over and take it up with other barrack leaders. And when I got to their office, there were a couple of dozen other guys standing on the steps, barrack leaders and compound leaders, and also the chaplain, Father Moran.
Hello, Pete. You too, eh?
How are you, Padre? Say, what goes on here anyway?
Well, it's a strange and wonderful thing, Pete. It seems that 4,000 GIs, Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, are suddenly all up in arms about a mass that most of them weren't going to anyway. So we've asked the commandant to meet us here.
Everybody, huh?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was only my guys.
Hey, look.
Oh, yeah. Here he comes. Private army and all.
Alf! You asked to see me? About what, Captain Moran?
Colonel, it's about the mass. First you gave permission, and now you've forbidden it. And our men
are... The Gestapo in the city forbid it. Too many men in one place, not wise.
But, Colonel, the men are determined to go.
So you tell them it is forbidden?
Excuse me, Colonel. They know it's forbidden. They know they might get shot. But they're at the point right now where they don't care. So if you want a few thousand corpses on your hands, you're going to get them.
No, I want no trouble here.
Then may I suggest that you ask the Gestapo to reconsider?
Very well, I will ask, but their answer will take time, Captain. If it does not come before midnight, the order must be enforced regardless of the consequences. You will tell your men the order will be enforced. Forward!
Well, Padre...
I don't know, boys. We could call off the service, just close up the chapel. But if the men show up anyway, I think I'd better be there to head off trouble. You know, I just can't get over it. I mean, what crazy, contrary, unreasonable, stubborn, and still profoundly wonderful characters Americans can be. I just can't get over it.
Well, I went back to the barrack and briefed the guys on what I'd heard. They listened and nodded and said nothing. They hadn't changed their minds about going to the mass, just didn't want to argue about it. Barrack 35B was really something to see that night. Nick and Miller had built us a beautiful tree made out of branches fastened to a broomstick handle. And it was decorated with garlands of white tissue, scraps of colored paper, and spirals of tin from our powdered milk cans. And on the very top, there was an angel, carved from soap, fastened to a cardboard star. Yes, it was really something to see. Dinner time came, and still no word from the commandant. We had a fine Christmas Eve dinner that night. The Spam was fried just right, and the potatoes were boiled to perfection. For dessert, we each had 3 stewed prunes and a slice of Blackie's specially baked cake. Pretty good, too, whatever he'd made it out of. And then came the long-awaited show. We had all kinds of acts, but one I remember especially was Nick, because he sang of home.
On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow.
We had comedians, too, like the act that Hud and Blackie put on.
Here is a German Unteroffizier who's trying to make an honest living, and here comes another of those new American prisoners. Ach!
You there! I'm looking for the prisoner of war camp. Have I come to the right place?
So, are you there now, Kriegsgefangenen?
What's your language? So happens that I know every word of the Geneva Convention. Where have I heard that before?
Quiet, please!
From your insolent manner, I wonder if I've come to the right place. Well, anyway, take me to the dining room. I'm hungry enough to eat a horse.
To eat a horse?
Yes!
Yeah, you have come to the right place.
Yes, it was a fine show. But under all the laughter and applause, we knew that the men were still determined to go to that mass, come what may. It was late when the show ended. We sat around quiet now and exchanged Christmas presents with our best buddies. They were strange gifts, some of them, but very precious in many ways.
Hey, how do you like that? A can opener.
Hey, Sid, where'd you get it? This isn't the one you had.
You think I'm out of my head giving you my only can opener? No, I had an extra one.
Well, fine. I mean, thanks. Thanks a lot. It's real charming of you, boy. Here. Huh? Here, I got something for you.
Hey, guys, the time. It's almost 12. Anybody interested?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm interested.
Me too.
Hey, just a minute, hey. Just a minute, fellas. Now, please, give me a minute. I'll be brief.
Yeah, well, the briefer the better.
All right, so right now, we never had it so bad. But we'll get out of here. You know we will. If we can just stay alive a little while longer. Don't forget, we've got lives waiting to be lived back home. We've got girls waiting and kids waiting to be born and raised and houses waiting to be lived in. Warm houses with good food on the table. Okay. Okay, you don't want any part of it. Okay. So go on out now and get yourself shot.
Guy might be right, you know.
Well, maybe so.
Hey, outside, look. Hmm? Whole mob of guys from the other barracks heading for the chapel.
Okay. There's going to be a mess. I'm going to sing.
Yeah, let's go. Jerry's want to stop a few thousand of us. Let him try.
Come on, Sid.
Well, Pete, how about you?
Yeah, sure. I'm coming. Let's go. The chapel was already jammed when we got there. There wasn't room for those who came after us. And soon there were hundreds of guys outside, bunched around the open doors and windows, standing hatless in the snow. Inside, up by the cardboard candlelit altar, somebody I couldn't see began to play the wheezy old organ. The faces around me were tight with determination and anxiety. Where were the Jerrys? Why hadn't we run into any on our way to chapel? Obviously, they were laying low. But why? We didn't know. We were tense and afraid. Whatever Father Moran felt during that midnight mass, it didn't show. For him, the Jerrys and their barbed wire no longer existed. It was Christmas, and he was honoring the Prince of Peace. And then from outside, we began to hear something. And a whisper, starting among the men outside in the snow, swept inside the chapel from man to man, men whose nerves were at hair-trigger tension.
The Jerrys are coming.
Okay, let them start something. Come on, the Jerrys, they want trouble.
The Jerrys were coming. We could see them, coming towards us across the snow, rifles in hand. In a minute or two, they were at the chapel door. We held our breath and waited. Not a man among us moved. But we were ready for anything. Then Father Moran turned.
Dominus vobiscum.
And seemed to give a nod to Sidney Milstein.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant so tender and mild.
As Sid sang that age-old hymn, the Jerrys pushed their way into the chapel. And overcrowded as it was, gradually, our prison place of worship was filled with our guards and captors. I knew that one of them was right behind me, but I didn't turn around.
Silent night.
Nacht, heilige Nacht, alle schläft.
Hey, listen. Yeah. How do you like that?
Then we knew. The Jerrys weren't there to stop us, but to join us.
In all our anger and fear, we'd forgotten one thing. It was Christmas for them, too. And remembering this, we began to sing. We all began to sing. The sky seemed wonderfully clear that night as we walked back to our barracks, and the stars strangely bright. We didn't have to talk because each man's thoughts were alike. We knew now that the words we'd heard for so long were really true, that Christmas isn't only an anniversary, but a universal spirit of brotherhood, of peace, and goodwill. And in realizing these things, we'd lost our fear. We knew somehow that it wouldn't be long, that we'd soon be free, that we'd soon be home. And we knew, too, that this would always be the most memorable Christmas of our lives.
Sleep in heaven,
thanks to Edmund O'Brien and the Cavalcade Players for tonight's true story. Barbed Wire Christmas was written by Warner Law in collaboration with David Gerber and was based on Mr. Gerber's personal experiences in the German prison camp.
The Cavalcade of America on Tune to Yesterday with Edmund O'Brien starring in that NBC broadcast from December 16th, 1952. Bringing to a close this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levoner. Happy holidays.